T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And welcome to Overnight America. I had to throw that in there. Ooh, it's an exciting, exciting night tonight. Oh, I've been looking forward to this one. I had a chance to meet John Lindsay just now. He's setting up some of his equipment because in the next hour, 11:06, starting here in St. Louis, Missouri, the paranormal investigators will be walking the floors of KMOX as we try to figure out, perhaps, are there any unexplained phenomenon in our building? And someone that may have witnessed something unexplained, Alex Degman, who waits in the KMOX newsroom. Alex, you are one of the people that have come forward and said you had an experience here in this building, something that cannot be explained.
Well, yes. And let me just preface this by saying that out of all of the experiences, as you call them, that I've had over the past however many years, this one was pretty tame. So I am a full believer in paranormal activity. Like, I think that exists. But what happened in this building was pretty tame.
So there weren't, like, the start of Ghostbusters with the books moving across?
No. No poltergeist activity. No books being thrown.
No slime.
My back didn't get scratched or anything like that. So, yeah, we're not there.
But, no slime. No funny smells. No people levitating. I'm trying to think of the things you see in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I've never seen any of that. My experiences have been nothing like that, nothing like the movies. No, but what happened here, and when was this? This has got to be a couple of months ago now, at least.
It was definitely 2018. I just don't remember when.
Okay. Well, basically what happened was it was about, you know, between 10:30 and 11 at night, right around this time of night. You were in here in the KMOX studio. Uh-huh. I was out in another part of the building with who I thought was somebody else. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for another one of our coworkers, Michael Calhoun, to finish up doing whatever he was doing.
Okay.
And I thought I heard him walking down the hall behind me. I was by the kitchen, and I thought I heard him walking toward me from the sales office. It sounded very much like a male dress shoe would sound walking on carpet very, very quickly.
Okay.
So if you can imagine what that sounds like, that's what it was. So I turned around expecting to see Michael Calhoun there, and there was nobody there. You probably couldn't have seen that story coming, but, you know, so I looked around. I'm like, okay, is somebody in the bathroom? No, nobody's in the bathroom. Nobody's in back. The sales and traffic areas are completely empty.
Yeah.
I'm literally the only one up there. I don't know what I heard.
That's a very specific sound effect. Male dress shoe following you on carpet.
Yes. And when I say, when you say following, it's not as, there were probably only about 3, 4, maybe 5 footsteps altogether.
Okay.
What I thought were footsteps. So it wasn't like something or like some sort of thing was following me by any means. I didn't get that sense.
There was a couple of weird things that happened in this building. Valerie, who does a lot of our production work, she said that when she was working what is now the KZK studios, there's a filing cabinet where something would agitate every once in a while, move or whatever. And of course, there'd be nothing in there moving. So that was a weird thing for her. So we're going to check that out, too. We're going to check out the same area you told us where you heard those footsteps. And they have cameras they're setting up around the building right now, and they're going to use their equipment. They got all kinds of cool stuff. They brought in what looks like, you ever seen a band go into a club and they have all of the rolling suitcases and they have all the equipment? They're like roadies, man. They had all this stuff that came in with them and the wires and they're getting it all ready. There's a crew of about 6 of them here right now.
So basically what you're telling me is they're setting up like you would, like any bona fide ghost hunting team that you've seen anywhere.
Oh, yeah. This isn't a Fisher-Price rig. I mean, this is like the real deal for them.
They've got the, let's see, what do they use? I'm trying to think, because I used to be really into these shows, really, really into the shows. You got the infrared cameras, you got the recorders to pick up the EMF activity and
all
that stuff.
They do have those, yeah. So they have all of those things, and they've already staked out a couple of different areas where we can try that. And if you want to talk to them, you can go see all the equipment. I'm sure you'll walk by them when they're just out in the lobby right now.
I'm sure I will.
Yeah.
I'm sure I will. And it's just, It's really I'm going to be interested to see if they find anything, because this is an old building. Park Pacific is not new by any means.
Johnny Rabbit gave me an idea. He said, designed, let's see, built in 1928 by the Missouri Pacific Railroad. It was going to be 10 stories taller, but they had financial troubles. There's a spring.
In the Depression? No. Stop.
Well, there was a spring. There is a spring that flows underneath this building, which apparently is a conductor for spirits and things. They're telling me that normally when they go to places where there's running water close to it, that always amplifies things.
What?
You know,
I've never
heard
that.
Yeah, there's a spring under this building.
I didn't know either of those things, about the spring or about the water attracting phantasms or whatever.
Yeah, and then in the basement, the railroad detectives would use that as a shooting range, like a firing range to practice. So that's down there too.
Oh boy. Okay.
This is amplifying things. Now we're getting somewhere.
So a creek shooting range is underneath this building.
Built in the 20s, before the Depression. Yeah, a creek shooting range.
Wow, what else are you going to tell me about this building?
Well, it was the same people that were the principal architects also designed the Southwestern Bell Building over on Pine.
Okay, that makes sense.
And they were also with architects that designed Soldiers Memorial, which is kind of cool, and the Chase Hotel, which opened before this building in 22.
I mean, all those buildings, very similar architecture. That does not surprise me at all.
Cool buildings. So we got all of that going, and we're going to do the live paranormal investigation starting at 11 o'clock. And this may be, who knows what we're going to find. We might find nothing. We might find something. It's going to be, we're going to take at least an hour doing this, and I'm going to walk the hallways with them live on the air here on Overnight America. Anyone listening, you're going to be able to discover stuff with us. I'm excited for it. So thank you for giving me the tip. Hopefully, you know, what would you like to know or would you not like? Let's say they find something and they document it on camera. Would you like to see what was following you or would you not like to see?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'd love to see it.
Okay.
Just because, I mean, and this is going to make me sound a little loopy to some people, but just based on, you know, some of the things that I think I've seen, you know, nothing really fazes me anymore, to be honest. I'm more interested to know what's there.
All right.
If there is something there, I like to know things.
Alex Degman, man, I am looking forward to it. Thank you for the tip, and I hope everyone enjoys it as much as it sounds like you're going
to
enjoy.
Not to ruin your segue, but this was your thing. This was your idea.
Yeah,
you're the one who thinks that ghosts are messing with the lights in there.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't flickered now that we're talking about it.
It's because it's not ghosts.
All right, ghosts. Any ghosts in here? Come on, flicker the lights right now.
The ghosts are making the lights flicker. They're making noises in the hallways, not making the lights flicker.
Yeah, there's no lights flickering. It did that for a while in the studio. I don't know.
you needed a new bulb. It wasn't a ghost.
That's probably the case. But you never know.
All right, well, thank you for the credit, but it was your idea.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. All right, so in this hour, we're going to warm up while they're putting up their equipment, and John Lindsay and his crew are getting everything set up, and the paranormal investigation begins a little after 11 o'clock here. A little past midnight Eastern time, which is a little bit better. There's a new show on, was it A&E? This is one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen. Why would anyone watch a show called The Toe Bro? If you haven't heard of this, we're going to talk about that. And cat cannibalism with your tax dollar money. Phew! Isn't that fun? Man, if it's not one thing, how much in the millions would you be comfortable spending to research cat cannibalism? All right, we're going to get to that too coming up. Overnight America, KMOX.
When news breaks out, KMOX breaks in. St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. Depend on it.
Overnight America, we continue. So how about this? I think to myself, why in the world would anyone watch a podiatrist at a foot clinic in Ontario, Canada, operate on people? But apparently A&E said, let's do it. This is one of the grossest things I have ever watched. So I'm going to try to give you an idea of what's happening in this video. It's the same network that has Dr. Pimple Popper, which was another weird one. We talked about this on the show just one time. It's a woman that pops these like pimples and cysts and whatever it is for the camera. Oh, and it's some of the grossest things. Who watches these shows? Seriously. Who sits down and, man, I need to unwind. I'm going to sit on my lazy boy, put my feet up, get the popcorn going, get a nice relaxing T, and let's watch the toe bro as he removes toenails from people and removes different, I don't know, boils and pimples and growths from your feet. Oh, it is so gross. And I watched the first clip that they posted online from A&E called The Toe Bro. Has anyone seen this show? And then again, why would anyone like this show? What does anyone actually enjoy watching this, or do they just enjoy the nature of being grossed out? So once they get grossed out, that's the thrill of the show, not because they care how this procedure is done. I don't know why anyone would watch this. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. If you've seen either Dr. Pimple Popper or The Toe Bro, why do you watch that show? Ugh. All right, so here's a kind of, you can get a feel for what The Toe Bro is all about.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. Close your eyes. Look at me.
Oh, my God.
All right, so this woman is not even at the point of procedure. What she's doing is getting her toe, getting some shots in her toe, and she's afraid of shots to numb it so they can do the procedure.
I haven't counted yet.
Oh, my God.
One, right, she's two, really... three.
Okay.
Just breathe.
She cries as much as my four-year-old. Are you kidding me? It's shots in the toe. What? Honestly, I don't like getting shots. I don't like getting blood drawn. And I always tell the doctor, if you have to do it, can you do it in the leg? I'd rather have something done in the leg or the foot than the arm or the forearm. None of those things I want something like that.
She's a screamer. One, two, three. Ow, my ears.
That sounds like producer Mike.
One, two, three.
That's you. That's your scream. I know that scream anywhere. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Ow, my ears.
Oh my,
you don't think
God.
So?
I can't do this.
You can. I have to inject people all the time of all ages. Kids scream, but not with a full-out woman scream. Not with loud.
Wow, now this is a full-out woman scream. You see, I don't know if you saw that, producer Mike. We had some paranormal investigators' instruments. They were doing some readings over here. I'm getting excited for 11 o'clock. I can't wait.
I don't want to call it a dramatic dancer, but... I'm sorry, Jasmine.
You're forgiven.
All right, so this is the part where it gets gross. So The Toe Bro premiered in March on A&E. This woman that you're hearing is named Jasmine. I think she's a dancer? I guess. Yeah, if you are a dancer, then yeah, you would need your feet, right? That's a pretty important part of what you're doing. And I know what you're thinking. It doesn't specify what type of dancer she is, so I don't know. Everyone, I'm just going to assume everyone was wondering when you heard she was a dancer, right? What kind of dancer? I don't know. I don't want to speculate. So how about the actual procedure itself? So this is what they do. They zoom in on her big toe.
Anything sharp here?
No, I just chill. Pressure.
All right, so now
like, I hear it.
Yep.
In my bones, you know?
Oh, I wonder if they had those sound effects. Did you hear those? So here's what's happening. The camera zooms in on her big toe as he is taking a scalpel, a very thin scalpel. It's like almost not what you would normally see for, I don't know how to explain it. It's almost like, you ever seen one of those knitting needles? It's like that, but very sharp and flat on the end. So it's thin.
Oh my Lord.
Anything here?
Nope.
You are numb.
Oh, my.
Oh, you're covering up, eh, Emily?
Oh, yeah.
Emily's her friend who's helping her get through this.
Looks pretty?
No.
Oh, they do these noises in the background that sounds like, it sounds like, I don't know, like you're sticking your hand in a bag of goo. Ugh. All slurpy and stuff. Oh, it is so gross. Like a fondue fountain. So they have this scalpel thing, and what he's doing is he's sticking it down into the cracks between the toe and the toenail, and he's like going around like he's loosening it up. And then he sticks it under the toenail like it's a form of torture, like they're sticking bamboo in there or something. And he's going around, and he's, I'm not kidding, an inch into this thing. It's not like it's just playing around. It's really getting in there.
I know you love it.
So nails all separated. Now we're just going to trim out that ingrown piece.
Oh.
Sounds good.
oh no. Okay, so they're zooming in on this toe. And at this point, I can barely watch. I'm about to find the closest garbage can because it is horrifying. And I'm thinking, who watches this for their pleasure? Like, who watches this and says, oh yeah, do it. I can't wait. You hear that? That's them clipping the toenail in half. Click, click, click.
Ugh. Good?
Yep.
You're watching.
Yeah, what's going on?
So we're just going to pull out that nail.
Okay.
All right, here it goes.
No.
Ow! Okay, so there was them clipping it, and now they're removing the toenail. I don't know if they're adding these sound effects after the fact or if that's the natural sound of them recording. It almost sounds like they've added sound effects to make it worse. It sounds like they took a bunch of pencils and snapped them in half.
Okay.
Ah! So gross. Oh, no. Ugh. There's the camera on A&E is zoomed in on this. We're watching it happen.
Oh, did you hear that? Yeah.
One more time. You ready for that sound effect?
Okay.
And what they're doing is they're taking like these tweezer things and they're separating the toenail they just broke in half of it off, and they're sliding it off. They're sliding it off the thing, and there's just like, there's not long strands of like mucousy goo underneath it. It's just like, ugh, so gross.
Oh, did you hear that? Yeah. So gross.
Yeah, it is. To hear that, that's the separation sound. It sounds like if you get an old book where the binding glue is starting to wear down and you open it up and you can hear the pages starting to separate from that glue.
That's so gross.
Whoa.
That's disgusting.
Emily, look what came out of my foot.
No, I... Oh, yeah.
What do you think of the music? They're all this hip hop. Boom, 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 boom.
That's disgusting.
Emily, look what came out of my foot.
No, I... Oh, yeah. No.
That is disgusting.
Yeah, of course it is. You just watched your friend have a scalpel put underneath her toenail, completely underneath her toenail, like it was some sort of torture. Them split the toenail in half and then peel it off her foot. This is on A&E. People watch this for entertainment. If you're wondering what the toe bro looks like, completely bald. He looks like a big toe. He does. His face looks like a big toe. Oh my goodness, I just can't. So, if that's your thing, you are into some weird stuff, man. I don't want to know. I don't want to look at your internet history in your browser. Whatever you've been looking up, I don't want to know it. Ugh. Yeah, people that fear sounds, that does it for you, Producer Mike. That sound itself was too much. That's like a horror movie. I wonder, and this is in Canada, and they're all cheery. Oh, this is fun. Oh, just going to the toe guy, the toe bro. You think his license plate says toe bro? It has to. He's one of those guys, isn't he? So the doctor had to make the friend leave because she couldn't handle it. It's on Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock. So 9 o'clock Central, right before we start on Overnight America. I guess I could watch it leading into the show some Tuesday night. Nah, I don't think so. This will probably be my only exposure to it. Unless there's a super gross one that happens to make its way to the internet, then how can I resist pressing the play button? Man, I already feel bad about this. If we didn't have evil spirits here already when it comes to this floor, we just welcomed them in by playing this toe, bro. So we're in trouble next hour. When we have the paranormal investigators go through, oh, we're in trouble. Coming up next, I wanted to talk about cat cannibalism. Yeah, you know that's a thing? No, no kidding. Would it surprise you if the United States government studied cat cannibalism? The only thing more surprising is how much money they spent on studying cat cannibalism. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Hey Blues fans, Joey Vitale here, and we have some Thursday night hockey for you as the St. Louis Blues play host to Dylan Larkin and the Detroit Red Wings. Catch all the action with the pregame show at 6:30 and the face-off at 7 right here on KMOX. Let's go Blues!
Welcome back. Here we are, Overnight America, continuing and trying to figure things out the best way we can, because in a half hour from now, paranormal investigators are in the building, and we're going to walk the KMOX studios with them as they are taking their readings. They're going to find if there's anything abnormal. And for an hour, we're doing this live on the air. I mean, live to all of America to listen. We hit 30-plus states, and people listening online at KMOX.com as well. We're actually going to keep the phone lines open. The way we have this technology is we use one of our special pieces of equipment, and this technology hooks us back up into the studio so I can hear what's going on air. Meaning, if people call in and want to talk about the investigation or have questions, I can actually do that while we're walking the floor here. And we're doing the entire office building. So next hour, if you want to talk hauntings, paranormal questions, things we're seeing, and while we do this, mostly it's trying to figure out some of the sightings our staff members have had in the past are legitimate or not, or at least we can replicate it. We're going to do that next hour, too. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So if I were to tell you that the United States government spent a lot of money on cat cannibalism, what would you say? Would that surprise you? You know what the very last line of this NBC news story is? It's the very last line is the thing that should be the very first line. It's the thing that's the most outrageous part of all of this. Yeah, it's a little weird that the United States government would buy cats and dogs from Asian meat markets, bring them back, euthanize them, and then feed them to other cats and dogs. That was the experiment. They wanted to see how these animals would react to eating their own kind. Kind of crazy if you think about it. It was experiments with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It was a lab in Maryland that would include feeding dogs remains of cats and dogs and then also injecting cat remains into mice. Yeah, you know, real scientific stuff here. They were literally going to Asian meat markets and picking up what they were going to be using as part of all of this. Isn't that a little bit icky? Don't you feel bad if you are someone working for the United States government and your job is to go to an Asian meat market or go overseas because they were getting a lot of these animals from other countries. I don't know why they would have to go to Brazil and these other places. But the report is called USDA Kitten Cannibalism. No joke. That's the report. USDA Kitten Cannibalism. They were getting cats, 400 dogs from Colombia, Brazil, and Vietnam, 100 cats from China and Ethiopia. Wow. Talk about wasteful. So what we have here, it says they spent almost 4,000 cats have been killed since the testing began, and the experiment cost taxpayers about $22 million. You want to know why we have money problems here in the United States? Because we spend $22 million on studying something that is worthless to science, which is cat cannibalism. It's just stupid. Every week, was it? They did this thing called the Waste of the Week, and they used to do this on the Senate floor. And I know Dan Coats, when he was a senator out of Indiana, would do it every week, and it was pointing out some of this incredibly wasteful spending we have. Why don't we just instantly say, okay, we need a minister of common sense to look through and say, no, we're not paying $22 million to study cat cannibalism. We're cutting this. Give someone the authority to cut it out. This is so stupid. Asian meat markets. Says, these were all abnormal diets for cats, dogs, and mice, so likely irrelevant to natural biology. Their scientific relevance and justification is questionable at best, as is their relevance to American public health, since we do not consume cats and dogs, and the practice is outlawed in the United States. What in the world? Cat cannibalism. We're going to give our findings to Venezuela, where that's their only form of food. Are we going to give our findings to our friends in South Korea who still find that practice acceptable, or Vietnam, or some of these other outlining areas? What are we doing? Are we trying to spin this into, well, we're all going to have to get cat farms in order to survive because in 12 years, the world's going to end because of global warming. So we're all going to have to eat our cats and dogs. Is that what they're trying to set up? It is just unbelievable. It really is. This is not true. We have Judy on the line. Producer Mike, is this true? Judy, what's going on?
Well, you're talking about cat cannibalism.
Yeah.
We had cats always when we were little kids. And Mom would bring home something to feed them. And we had this one cat. She was kind of wild, and she had four kittens.
Uh-huh.
But by the time the four were born, the first one was dead, and Mom got back in there to check on the kittens and to check on us. And the first kitten was gone.
Mm-hmm.
The mother ate it.
Are you sure the mother ate it?
The mother ate it. No, my mom would not lie to me, because the next time the cat had kittens, she euthanized all five of them.
Why?
Well, we couldn't afford back in the 1960s to get kittens fixed, and nobody would take female cats kittens if they weren't, you know.
Yeah, what was the cat's name that ate the other kitten?
I believe that one was a Crazy Mary.
That's Mary Jane. Oh, Mary Jane. Okay.
Yeah.
I like Crazy Mary's
name was Mary Jane.
Crazy Mary.
She was counting the kittens as they were coming out. Us kids were, we were like five.
Was she
eight, nine, and 11, but.
Was she a farm cat?
The kittens was gone. She was a farm cat. Yep.
So outdoors the whole time?
Outdoors the whole time. Mom got her because she was pregnant. We needed a cat and we couldn't afford to buy one. But this cat's going to have kittens.
Yeah.
She had four minus one, so we took two of them out of there and we called them Bonnie and Clyde.
Really? Bonnie and Clyde?
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy. Never heard of that in my entire life.
Well, a mother will eat a dead kitten.
Well, good to know. Thanks,
Judy.
We didn't
need to spend money on this.
Yeah,
we've known.
Put your hand out to the government. They'll apparently that research is worth about $1 million alone. So you might have a check coming your way from the United States government or the USDA.
No joke.
All right, thanks, Judy.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, bye. Wow, that was not what I was expecting. Is that common in the cat world? Cat cannibalism? Well, this is force fed. They're buying the cats. They were, what do they say, tastefully euthanizing them? Tastefully. Because, you know, see that pun? Because the tastefully taste? It's kind of a bad joke. It's in a poor taste. Taste again. Producer Mike, our investigators were looking for someone. Can you go check on them real quick? They just came over and they were like, they needed help with something. Sorry. Got to get in the spirit. Maybe they found something. Maybe there's slime coming from the ceiling. I'm so pumped up for next hour. The last time I was this excited, when you were a kid and your parents were going to take you somewhere cool and you knew the day was coming, like every once in a while we'd go to Cedar Point. It was the biggest amusement park from Michigan down to Lake Erie over in Ohio. A couple hour drive, but still, it was so cool. And you'd go with your friends and you would just wait for that time to get there, and you'd wait and wait and wait. I feel like I'm having one of those moments right now where I'm in the car and I'm about to get to Cedar Point because we're going to hit that roller coaster here in a few minutes at 11 o'clock. Oh, they're turning the lights off now. Oh, yeah. This is getting real. This is getting real, real fast. You know, coming up, I wanted to do a few other things. There's a few other stories about animals. Let me just do this real quick. This is insane to me. Over in Texas, a Texas homeowner thought there might be a few snakes under his home, so he calls an exterminator or someone to come take a look. What I find with any type of animal like this, and since I just came back with the bat in the house and the bat flying around, I'm on high alert. And when I had to go up into the attic in order to see if there were more bats hanging out, it was one of the I had to really get some courage. I had to really hype myself up because as soon as I put my head up through that little hole in the ceiling to go look and peek in the attic, I thought there could be about 12 bats that fly right at me. As far as I know, there's a colony up there. But obviously, I got lucky because I would have been complaining still to this day if I had a bunch of bats flying at my face. Didn't happen. So I totally understand what this homeowner is doing. He thought he had some snakes under his home. Instead, it was a little bit worse than that. According to Big County Snake Removal, he did the right thing by calling them in. The workers pulled 45 rattlesnakes from underneath his home close to, it's about 150 miles west of Dallas in Albany, Texas. The company posted an 18-minute video. If you want to see the rattlesnakes, I couldn't do it. I'd pass out. I'm out. it would just take the sight of one rattlesnake. How do you even approach something like that? Seriously. Nope, I'm out. See you later. I'm calling someone. It's in someone else's hands. Well, same thing with if there was a bunch of bats in my attic. I couldn't go and just start capturing bats on my own. I'd have to call someone that would know what they're doing. How'd you like to learn that there's rattlesnakes under your house? When I was last in Texas, we went to go visit a friend who was down at the Air Force base there. And part of the Air Force base itself, we stayed at a friend's house. We stayed at one of our, you know, friend's family member's house. And you know what they told us? They said, don't go outside without putting shoes on. Because I thought you can just, you know, it's nice out. It's Texas. I'll just go walk out to their back porch or whatever. They said, don't do that. You don't want to know what's out there. Scorpions or snakes or whatever it is. You got to protect yourself. Don't fall for it. This whole building is going dark. I'm getting nervous already. I can see producer Mike walking around our newsroom. It's almost like the power went out here. Because in order for them to do their readings and the paranormal investigation, the lights need to be out. Because they got to eliminate, because there's, you know, interference with the light bulbs and things. So they got to eliminate as much interference as possible so they know what they're getting into. All right, we're close. Next hour, you're not going to want to go anywhere. You can't miss next hour. This is going to be, I think, crazy as we walk the dark hallways of KMOX with professional paranormal investigators. Oh, I can't wait. A little bit more on that coming up. I'll explain. If you haven't heard this yet and you're just flipping through the radio dial for the first time and listening to 1120 AM and you're anywhere in the world, you might be in Tennessee right now listening to it. And this is your first time exposed to the show. This is the first time we've ever done this, but we have professional paranormal investigators in our building right now. We're actually on the air live. We're going to go through and we're going to see if we can find anything unexplainable here. I'll explain coming up. Overnight America, KMOX. The best way I can explain what it's like to be a KMOX at this very hour, it's like I'm underwater. I am in the main KMOX studio where all the shows are broadcast from. But every direction I look into, see, there's the studio where they do traffic. Here's the door and window looking into the newsroom. And here's the big window looking into the producer booth. It's all pitch black. It's like I'm underwater right now. As they get ready to take more readings, they need to eliminate some of the different interference that our electronics and our lights would actually incur. So they're at the point where they've done some initial readings just to see where some of the hot spots are when it comes to interference. And they set up some cameras. And producer Mike's out there working with them right now to make sure everything is, yeah, all ready to go. But all the lights are off, and the only lights right now on at KMOX are in this studio, and I'm going to assume these lights are going to have to go off here soon, too. As I look outside into the streets of downtown St. Louis, it's almost like I was underwater, and every once in a while there'd be a little flicker of something in the distance. You don't know what it is, and it's like that, too, everywhere else. A while back, we talked about the possibility of things haunting the KMOX studios. It started when we would talk about the lights unexpectedly turning off whenever we talked about ghosts. I don't believe in ghosts, but it was strange. You heard a story at the start of the hour, Alex Degman, who was here in the building and had footsteps behind him. He would turn around and nothing was there. Valerie, who does our production work here, Valerie, in her old production studio, had this filing cabinet that every once in a while would rattle, just to a little rattle, a little agitation of something moving around. And she'd say, what in the world is that? And she would open it up and there was nothing there, nothing in it. She said that happened when people were in the studio with her. And as I start to talk to some of the people that worked here, more and more people came forward and said, No, I had some strange things happen in this building, too. The building we're in is the Park Pacific Building, built in 1928 for the Missouri Pacific Railroad. Johnny Rabbit gave me the history of this building. Originally, it would have been 10 stories taller. But some financial troubles, when you talk about the getting close to that time of the Depression or whatever it was. It's a good thing this building was built when it was, you know. Who knows what would have been here if it would have happened after the crash. But he told me there's a natural spring that runs underneath part of this building. And this natural spring that is underneath the building adds some unique features to this building. It's part of the reason why the Park Pacific faces west from 13th Street. It's why some of the building is so plain. And it's why in the basement of this building, apparently through this spring, we have connections to other buildings downtown that I haven't actually seen. I don't think I have access to. But I've been told, at least it's a rumor, that there are some underground tunnels that actually lead to other places like the library across the street. I don't know if that's true. I know there's some pretty interesting tunnels that go all across St. Louis because of these springs and because of the steam tunnels. He also told me that the basement of this building, because it was for the Missouri Pacific Railroad, was a shooting range for some of their detectives. They were able to go down there and practice shooting and training. That adds an extra dynamic to it all. Part of the architects of this building, they also helped design the Southwestern Bell Telephone Building, which is over on Pine. Other architects that were associated with this building would later go on to build the Soldiers Memorial, which is right across the street from us here in downtown St. Louis. And they designed the Chase Hotel, which opened actually before, about 5-6 years before. So that's where we are today. We're getting ready, and we're going to have paranormal investigators once and for all tell us if there's anything perhaps creepy going on in the KMOX studios. His name is John Lindsay. He brought his crew and he brought his equipment. And I told John, I said, I don't believe in ghosts. And you know what? He said, that's good. He said, what we do, and this is how we approach this. How we approach these investigations is we hope we can identify what we record, what we hear, what we see. They have video cameras. They have infrared. They have these EV something stuff. You know, I'll let him explain it next hour. I don't know exactly everything he's brought with him, but there's a lot of sophisticated looking equipment. This isn't Fisher Price rinky dinky stuff. You know, this isn't my first Mr. Mike. You know, none of that stuff. And they have a pretty good understanding of, okay, this is what could cause that. Here's what could cause that. Here's what probably caused that. But you know what? It's always the off chance, that little, you know, 5% of the things they can't explain that's interesting to them. I wonder if we'll find some of that today. I wonder if that's going to be on the agenda. It's not that I'm afraid of walking around a dark building. I mean, I work overnights here on KMOX. Part of working the overnight is it's an empty building. You're the only one here. You don't see other people. You don't hear other people. It's just an empty building. But when they flipped the lights off, things got real. Things got real. So part of this next hour, and they said normally their investigations would last several hours. So they came a little early to pre-set up. So when we start the hour, we'll be able to hit the ground running and we'll just be able to start. And he'll be able to walk me through and talk me through some of the things they're looking at. He's been featured on A&E, and they record some of these things for A&E. They do different stories for him. And I'm really looking forward to what happens in the next hour. It could be a whole bunch of nothing. It could be something that is unexplainable. One of the nice things about the equipment we have set up for the broadcast is that it's basically a special bit of technology. I don't want to get too deep into it, but there's a bit of technology that we're able to load an app on a phone, and it hooks up through the internet, and through that, I'm able to connect to the radio station here in the main control room. So I can hear the radio station, I can hear producer Mike talking to me, and if we take phone calls next hour, I'll be able to hear the phone calls as well as I walk around the floor of KMOX. We tested it the other night, and it was a great signal. We didn't have any problems with it. But in the off chance something crazy happens, I hope there's nothing crazy that does happen. Maybe there will be. I don't know. For my own sanity, I hope nothing crazy happens. But I'm leaving the door open to it. And I'll be able to take your phone calls next hour. And this is how it works. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. We could be interacting with you in the next hour. If there's any questions you want to ask me while I'm walking the floor, if you just want to call in and got questions for John Lindsay or any of the other paranormal investigators, we'll do that next hour too. Who knows what we'll find? This is going to be a crazy adventure we're going to experience together, and you're only going to hear it here next on Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.